Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
The spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'm going to read from the book of Habakkuk chapter 3 and verses 3 to 4. The book of Habakkuk chapter 3 verses 3 to 4. The Bible says there that God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Hallelujah. Okay, can you see that? Verse 3 first. Let's go back to verse 3. I want to read again. I want everybody to follow. Can we read together verse 3? KJV. 1, 2, go. And the Holy One from Mount Paran, his glory covered the heavens. The earth was full of space. His brightness was as a light. He had arms coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. In other words, the power of God is hidden in the light that is coming out. When he says horns, it's not talking literally like horns that are growing, like the horn on top of a ram. It's saying that those lights came out like horns. And within those lights, the power of God is hidden. Are you following me? Now let's look at Amplified Version. Amplified Version of the same verse, chapter verse 3. Can you see that? It says, God approaching from Sinai came from Teman, which represents Edom, and the Holy One from Mount Paran in the Sinai region, Selah, that is pause. Calmly think of that. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was like what? Like the sunlight. Rays streamed from his hand, and there in the sun-like splendor was what? The hiding place of his power. So we see from this scripture that the hiding place of the power of God is in his hands. Are you following me? So the Bible makes us to understand that the brightness that came out of his hand, that is where the power of God is hidden. Now let's take Message translation. It says, God is on his way again, retracing the old salvation route, coming up from the south through Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. Skies are blazing with his splendor. His praise is sounding through the earth. His cloud brightness like dawn exploding, spreading, forked lightning shooting from his hand. What power hidden in that feast? Have we been able to establish from those verses that what the Bible is saying here is that the power of God is hidden in the light that is coming from his hand? Can we all see that? Can we all see that? Okay, so we established that the power of God is hidden in his light. And we need to understand that the light of God is extremely important to our success in life as born-again Christians, as children of God, even in what we do from day to day, our daily endeavors. Having light around you. Now, this light we are talking about is not the light that you use to walk around, or the light that you pray for and say, Lord, give me your light. No, no, no. Now that light you pray for, Lord, give me your light. I need light. I need light. That light is actually part of this great light. Let me show you a scripture. You understand me. Psalm 36 verse 9. Psalm 36 verse 9. It says, for with thee is a fountain of life. in thy light shall we see what? Light. You understand it right now. So the light that we see, the power of God is hidden in here. It's not the power, it's not the light we might be envisaging. The light we are talking about, maybe we need the light of God for direction, light for purpose, we need light for our relationship, is actually embedded in this other great light. Okay? Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, because I'm going somewhere, I'm just establishing this, how important light is, and how important, how very crucial you need to pray for light every time. Now Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15 says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, look at it, he said, I heard of your faith in the Lord. In other words, these people is referring to their children of God, right? Are you with me? I heard of your faith, and we know that faith coming by hearing and hearing by God's word. So we know these people are not just on some unserious Christians. They are born again Christian children of God. They might even be pastors. So he said, after I have heard of your faith, not just that, and also your love unto all these things. So these people understand the revelation of love, walking in love, helping other people, helping their brethren. So these people that are being referred to here are not just some young Christians that are just trying to grow. They are people who are matured, who know how to walk with God. They know God already. They have a personal relationship with God. They understand who God is. They understand faith. They know how to connect with God. They know how to walk in love. They understand the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of God's love, as described here. He said, when I heard of your faith and your love unto saints, in other words, you are good Christians. You are children of God, running away from sin, living for God. Look at the next verse. After I heard of that faith and that love, verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you. So he's appreciating God on their behalf. Lord, thank God for these people. Thank God for their lives. These are children of God. They are serving God. Then he says, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, listen to that. So it's not talking to young Christians, it's talking to mature Christians. He said, but I still have to keep on praying for you and making mention to God every time in my prayers. I hope you know the prayer he's talking about here has to be very important. But these people are not young Christians. If they are young Christians, you want to say, okay, he's interceding for them so that their feet will be established. They will become serious Christians. They will come to church regularly. They will not be on serials. They will not. No. These are established Christians. And now he is still praying for them. What prayer point could it be? It has to be very important. And also for the Holy Spirit to move, Apostle Paul, to now document this for us to know. What he's telling us is that this same prayer, pay attention to it and pray it for yourself. The prayer point is about to raise. It's extremely important. Even if you've been born again for 25 years, it's still extremely important. Now move to the next verse. Let's see. This is the prayer point. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Let me hear you. The spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the... Okay, so that is the prayer point. Wow. It has to be very important. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. So from that verse, before I tell you what the spirit of wisdom and revelation is, we know that wisdom is a spirit, isn't it? Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of revelation. So wisdom, yes, earthly wisdom, you can have that by experience, by learning, by your cognitive abilities, your intellectual prowess and all of that. But all those are earthly wisdom. We are talking about divine wisdom here, divine insight into mysteries. He says, I am praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. So if it has been given to you and you have received it, you have it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. And yet those people are children of God, born again Christian, talking, on their way to heaven, serving God, workers in church. Are you following me? But now I am still praying for them that God will give unto them. So this divine wisdom, spirit of wisdom and spirit of revelation, is not something that comes automatically because I'm a child of God or because I'm born again. He said, after I have heard of your faith and your love, you can't walk in love except you have the spirit of God. So those people have the spirit of God, they are matured Christian. But yes, after I've heard that you are good Christians, now I'm praying for you that God will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. What is the spirit of wisdom? Go to the next slide. Look at the word wisdom is. Wisdom, the Greek word is sophia or sophias. And what that means is insight or wisdom that is not naturally attained. In other words, it is not a natural wisdom. It is a special insight that makes you to be different from people around you. It's an insight in any and every area of life that God can give you a business idea that nobody ever has, and you'll be making a lot of money. But you see, it has to be a spirit of wisdom that is given. Are you following me? Oh, okay. Now you are praying for a divine idea, good prayer. But a better prayer is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, give me this, give me that. Good prayers. A better prayer is give me the spirit of wisdom. It's not natural wisdom. So when you step out to implement that wisdom, it becomes different from the entire people or what is existing. These are the things that God has given us as children of God to distinguish us. Otherwise, you can just notice that your life is not different from the unbeliever. In fact, sometimes you can be envying the unbeliever. Are you following me here? Spirit of wisdom. What is revelation? Look at the next slide there. The word revelation is from the word apocalypsis. Now, what does that mean? It refers to something that has been veiled or hidden for a long time. And then suddenly, almost instantaneously, it becomes clear and visible to the mind or the eye. Before, you didn't see it. And all of a sudden, it's just revealed to you. That is apocalypsis. Revelation. Revealed unto you. It's a spirit. There's a spirit of revelation. There's a spirit that brings revelation to your spirit. There's a spirit of seeing and knowing that doesn't come automatically because you're a child of God. You can claim all the scriptures here, I have the mind of Christ. Yeah, all of that is good. But after I heard of your faith and your love, I still need to pray for you that God will give unto you. This is what distinguishes you. This is what sets you apart. This is how you become larger than life. This is how you exceed your contemporaries. Otherwise, you will be in the same market with unbelievers, struggling it out with them. What sets you apart? Are you following me? That the unbeliever can never have is the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Are you with me here? I said, are you with me? Spirit of wisdom and revelation sets you apart. Make you totally different. So everybody is selling this and selling this, but the way you sell your own, everybody's like, is it not the same thing we are selling? You should know that wisdom is in levels. Because you go to the market, you see everybody selling the same thing. But some people are selling more. Now some people are using evil powers. You know, go and collect water from mortuary and use it to cook amala and begiri for you. Which is why when you are eating in a restaurant, you do what? You do what? You pray over your food. Some of you don't pray. You don't pray because to you is religion. It's not religion, no. Because how many people are you going to ask? Excuse me, Ejo. Omi will let you say, "Begli, she go show me mortuary."
Nobody's going to give you. I said, but what do? You have to eat. So when you want to eat, you do what? You pray. You pray. All those things should be done consciously. Because one of the ways through, we learned that from Dagwood Mills during our workers' synod last Sunday, one of the ways that spell is transferred into the lives of people is through food. It's through food. Are you following me? Are you with me? And somebody came to distribute akara for you early in the morning. And you did not pray. You did not. For me, I won't even pray because number one, I won't eat it. That's why I have 2 dogs at home. Are you following me? Spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation. It sets you apart. The decisions you make are quality decisions. People are looking at, how is this person doing it? How will you look at people like Daddy Adeboye, Bishop Oyedepo, the way they open university as if they are opening shop there so easily? What's working with them is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. How is this man doing it? 50,000 capacity auditorium, 300,000 members, several services, plus all the thousands of branches of Winners Chapels across the world, plus university chancellor, and he's still going on strong. He's the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation. You can open one shop and die there. See, this life is difficult. This thing is too much. Are you following me? Haven't you thought about it? People that have large organizations, massive people that have, do you know there are people that have investment in every sector of the economy? Every sector. Name it. They are there. It's wisdom and revelation. The devil can give a counterfeit and can get it to a certain level. But the original wisdom and revelation is from God. This is his spirit. And when somebody is a spirit, it has to come upon you. It's not something you learn in school. Mm-mm. As the owner of Coast Careers in Lagos, he's a sole distributor of BMW in Africa. You buy a BMW, Rolls Royce, he's the one that can bring it to you. You don't pass through him, you can't have it. And yet, he didn't even go to secondary school. He's a billionaire. Billionaire. And the other time I saw his video, he was on the street. He didn't know they videoed him, but the video was all over the social media. He carried this thing, this public speaker. He was doing what? Declaring the gospel of the Lord. Preaching. Jesus. Billionaire. He knew that what got me here is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I've got to declare this. Some of you, because you're in 100 level, you can't preach the gospel again. You say, people will be looking at me somewhere. At 100 level, jam bite. The other time I saw follower of Alakija preaching the gospel on the street. On the street. Those people they know something you don't know. It's the spirit of wisdom. It's that same wisdom that will tell you, go to the street and preach now. But you, because you just got to school and you just bought a new canvas, you cannot preach the gospel. Come on, say, I receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. When you don't have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, little achievement, you become arrogant. This is how you'll be working. And you don't have anything. You don't have anything, literally. Because you are still collecting money from your parents. And here you are doing like this. This spirit of wisdom. You see, because it's wisdom and revelation. The revelation there tells you this is what you do to go up. The wisdom there tells you as you are going up, remain humble. Are you following me? If you are going to get to the peak of where God is taking you, spirit of what? Apostle Paul knew what he was saying. After I've heard of your faith and your love, good Christians, on their way to heaven, doing exploit for God, but I do not cease to mention you in prayer, that God will grant unto you. In yellow, my cap up. Are you following me? Spirit of wisdom and revelation. These are the things you spend your time on praying. start using the whole day to chat. You spend time in God's presence. Say, Lord, grant to me this prayer. Kenneth Hagin prayed this prayer. These prayers, there are about 6 or 7 of them in the New Testament. They are called Pauline prayers. This is just one of them. He said he sat, he was kneeled down in front of the altar in the church he was pastoring and prayed for hours at a time. Said, I will open my Bible to Ephesians chapter 1 and I will pray those prayers. Pray back to God. After about 6 months of consistently praying those prayers, literally, God gave him the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Because he will be in his room and Jesus Christ will actually walk into his room. And he will see Jesus Christ like, I see you like this. It's called, and the experience is called open vision. It's the highest form of vision. Wherein you are in the realm of the spirit, you are seeing in the spirit, and yet your physical senses are not suspended. The lower forms of revelations are dreams, visions of the night, and then trance. In trance, your senses are suspended. You are maybe asleep or you are down, and yet you are seeing the realm of the spirit. You just wake up to say, wow, I just saw something. That's a trance. But when you talk of open vision, you are alive. You are not sleeping. In fact, you can just be working on your computer and then you begin to see the realm of the spirit. If you have read the book by Rick Joyner, The Final Quest, it's a book of revelations. And that was what happened to him. Open heavens. He would just sit down and then God will open his eyes and begin to see it. And he was writing it down. As a matter of fact, he got to a time, what he was seeing was so intense. He begged God. I said, God, let this stop now. He left the place where he was and went back to town. After about a few weeks, he returned. As soon as he came back, the vision continued where he stopped. That's open vision. So that was the kind of visions Kenneth Hagin began to have as a result of praying this prayer. These prayers are dangerous. Oh. These prayers. God will open you up. You know that the scripture in Jeremiah 33 verse 3 said, call upon me, I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. God wants to communicate to you about every area of your life. Your choice of spouse to settle down with, your career, your purpose, where to stay, where to settle down in. Those things are not what you decide by, you believe you are lucrative there, you know. I'm going to Canada. I'm going to US. No. You don't jump into stuff like that. You pray. You ask God and let him lead you. There are many people who are lost there in the United States. And they are calling me every day to help them find us by Nigeria. Why did you leave in the first place where you know you want to find us by Nigeria? There are people who are domiciled in the US. Their husbands are here. There are people who are domiciled here. Their spouses who are. So you need to ask. Are you following me? For what? Spirit of wisdom and revelation. At the time, Jesus Christ appeared to Kenneth Hagin. I was talking to him. And an angel was also with. An angel was also. He said the angel was about 7 feet high. Said tall and big, massive. And he was seeing that without sleeping. It's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And so Jesus Christ was telling him some things which he documented in his book. If you read Following God's Plan for Your Life, and then I Come to Visions and Revelations, you see all those things there in his book. And so Jesus Christ was talking to him, and then an angel was there. So he said at the time he asked Jesus Christ to stop, he said, who is that fellow there? He pointed to the angel. The thing, he said, who is that fellow? It's an angel he was calling fellow. He said, who is that fellow there? So Jesus Christ answered, he said, that's your angel. So Kenneth Hagin said, no, that there's no scripture for that. I have an angel. No, I don't know anything about that. And Jesus Christ, that's your angel. So he told Jesus, Kenneth Hagin now told Jesus Christ, I'm a stickler for the word. If you can give me a scripture where I'm convinced that an angel, I have an angel at my age. I know the scripture that says, these little children, they are angels, behold my face in heaven. He said, but as an adult. So Jesus Christ gave him that scripture. He said, when you grow up, those angels don't leave you. They stay with you. They stay with you. And this is why people don't understand why the place of spiritual fathers. When you go to your pastor, your spiritual father, to pray for you, and then he prays and releases a blessing. I say it becomes easy for you today. And you're like, I can stay in my room and pray. Yes, you can pray. You can stay in your room and pray. But when somebody occupies an office like a pastor, a man of God, there are angels assigned to that office. Are you following me? So when I pray for you, my angels move to assist you. So that the things they do for me, they will do it for you. That's how it works. When a man of God prays for you, and then the thing he's doing becomes replicated. So you see somebody like Paul Enenche, pastor in Abuja, following Bishop Oyedepo closely, giving him offering, giving him seed, following up time. So he duplicated the same thing he did. He built 100,000 auditorium. Bishop Oyedepo built 50,000. Then you see somebody like Paul Enenche. He duplicated the same thing. And then Bishop Oyedepo himself talked the way he had to go to Robert University and said, Lord, whatever I see here can be done in Nigeria. And then he came and started the university. Because the first pastor that started the university across the world, in the planet Earth, was Robert. Are you following me? That's how that thing works. You can stay in your room and be languishing, but there's a grace that makes things easy. If you don't understand that, you better do. That there was a particular year that I had a lot of storms in my life, and I was battling it myself. After a while, I said, this thing is beyond me. I went to my spiritual father, Reverend Victor. He's the one that is coming on 21st of March. And I went with a seed. You don't go to a man of God empty-handed. Otherwise, that grace won't work. Now, it's not as if you are paying for the grace. Understand how this thing works. Nobody is asking you to pay for grace or to buy anointing. No, nobody sells anointing. But you understand when Isaac wanted to bless Esau. He said, go and make venison for me, such as my soul, not my mouth, such as my soul loveth. Are you following me? So I didn't have money to take, so I had computer, this laminator, I have some of those things that somebody just gave me. I just packed everything and went to him. Say, I want to sow this to the church. I'm going through some issues in my life. I don't know. He said, kneel down. He prayed for me. He said, I still the storm in your life. And that was it. How come I prayed and prayed and prayed myself, nothing happened? There's a higher grace. So the angels that work with him will move with me, because Apostle Paul talk about, ye are partakers of my grace. So you can partake of the grace of Daddy Adeboye if you know what to do. You can partake of, you can take portions of his grace and have it duplicated in your life. That's why you have Elijah and Elisha. Study your scripture very well. Even for Jesus Christ, he needed John the Baptist that had to baptize him, put him under the water, bring him up. Until he did that was when God spoke and said, this is my beloved son. Now hear him. Because before, nobody was hearing him. It was just, Jesus Christ was just ordinary anybody, carpenter, constructing stool. Yet he was the savior of the world. So he went to John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, no, I can't do this. No. I must decrease, you must increase. And he told John the Baptist, he said, let every righteousness be fulfilled. Let it be done as it is. So he baptized him. And the moment he did that, showing humility. Imagine the creator bowing for his creature. It's not easy. But that's what he had to do. At the time he took his towel and began to wash the feet of it. Do you know how dirty those feet will be? Dusty road of Jerusalem is not hard. The road is not hard in those days. He began to wash their feet. I said, he has washed some of the disciples' feet. Go to Peter. Peter, I omit it dirty. Jesus Christ then tore up me off for me. Ah. No. How people you more ministry? Emma voice me. And Jesus Christ said, if I don't wash you, you don't have a part in me. He said, I said, Coco Levan for Aturi. I just love Paul. Paul is a sanguine. Alright, as I was saying,
the spirit of wisdom and revelation is something you have to consciously pray for. So apocalypse is something that has been veiled. You are a great person, but how to enter into the greatness is veiled. You can't see it. All you know is that people are just prophesying for everywhere you go. They say you're a great person. You're a great person. And you have no money. You get to another church, you call, you come. You go to another and say, come. You get to another. So you have so much prophecies. If you don't have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, listen to me, at the age of 19, prophecy will still be there. Did they see right? Yes. Where is the greatness? It's veiled. It has to be revealed. You need the spirit of revelation to tell you this is what you need to do. This is who you need to be connected to. For everybody, you have to have a man of God. This is not like no. Oh, that spirit that said no, I can do it on my own. It is not scriptural. Read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There was never a Joshua without a Moses. There was never a David without a Saul. At the time God sent David to Saul, God had to risk it. But there was no other king he could learn from. Here was David going to become a king. Saul was a bad king. Royal king. And yet he needs to learn to royalty. The guy was a shepherd on the field. The Bible says he was following sheep, not sheep following him. Do you know what that means? He said, I took him from following the sheep. He has become a shepherd to the extent that the sheep is now the leader. I took him from following the sheep. That's what the Bible says. Read your Bible. So now, I want this guy to become a king in the palace. He's been living all his life on the field, fighting lion, grabbing bear, come out of the palace, calling your conscience, see, call of long. He needs to learn royalty. How is he going to learn? Who is going to teach him? Angels won't come down to teach you. You need a man. And the only man available was a bad Saul. And God said, you still have to go. Saul was a bad mentor. He took javelin 3 times. Wanted to pin him to the wall. If you are learning tailoring from somebody. And 3 times, the person took knife like this. And you dodge first time. Will you stay for the second time? It was when David saw that that's when he left. Even after he left, for you to know how bad Saul was, Saul took 3,000 men. Eh? Do you know what 3,000 is? We are less than 200 here. 3,000 men to go look for David to kill him. And he couldn't kill him. That's how you know that when God is on your side, they couldn't get him. Rather than for him to kill David, it was David that had opportunity to kill him. The men of David say, Oga, now as God committed your enemy to your hands, see, this is javelin, sir. It's one time. I've been trained. I will see his heart, sir. He won't even cry. No pain. His heart straight. And God will have avenged you. David said, no, touch not God's anointed. And thank God he did that. Because if he had told them to kill him, those people would also kill him. What you train your people to do, they will do it for you now. You train your pastors to go and attack one pastor in Bodija. They are the one that will chase you out of the church. The attacking mode, it was spirit one. So, salary by. Our pastor is no longer called. See, you watch what you train people around you with. You train them with strife. Is that strife they will use against you? You train them in offense. Is that offense they will use against you? You train them to be in the flesh, to help you attack people. So if somebody's abusing me online, facing for me, deal with him. They are going to deal with you. That's how it works. The Bible says, upon all Saul did, David behaved himself what? Wisely. I don't know why I'm slowing down, but I think somebody needed to hear all of this. Because I've not even started this message. And God will help me today. 10:20. Alright. So, something that has been veiled or hidden for a long time, and then suddenly,
almost instantaneously, it becomes clear. That's the spirit of revelation. It's like pulling the curtains out of the way so you can see what has always been outside the window. The scene was always there for you to enjoy, but the curtains blocked your ability to see the real picture. But when the curtains are drawn apart, you can suddenly see what has been hidden from your view. That is apocalypsis. The moment you see beyond the curtain for the first time and observe what has been there all along but not evident to you, that is what the Bible calls a revelation. And the Bible says this thing is a spirit. It's a spirit of revelation. It's a spirit of revelation that can come in upon your life and you don't have any problem again in terms of decision making, because you know exactly what to do. You know where to go. Are you following me? You know exactly what to do. And as a man, you need the spirit of revelation. How do you lead your family? How do you lead your wife? If your wife asks you, what are you doing now? Let me tell you. What are you? I don't even know. What are you? I am confused. The spirit of revelation. That's why the man is called the head of the house, and in the head, that's where the vision is, the eyes. You've got to see. And this is why also you need to be careful about who you marry. If you go and marry a man that does not have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, guess what's going to operate in that family? A lot of foolishness. Foolish decisions. Very foolish decisions. That you two will be telling him, don't talk to your husband like that. If your husband makes a mistake, say, praise God, we'll recover from it. It's too late to fight. After marriage, that your husband go and use tithe to buy a crate of beer, you can't fight. You now start prayer point. God, give him spirit of wisdom. Rather than, your spouse is supposed to be your prayer partner, not your prayer point. When is your prayer point? You are praying for him. When is your prayer partner? You are praying together. When a spouse becomes a prayer point, listen to me, it can be frustrating. That you open your mouth to pray, God, help this man. Help this woman. Are you following me here? Alright. Let's go on. Let's look at how the Amplified puts Ephesians 1:17. It said, for I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, in bracket, of insight into what? Mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. This is powerful. The spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight. These are the things that will distinguish you. These are the things that will set you apart. So wisdom is a spirit. Revelation is a spirit. Let's see examples of people where this spirit operated in, so that you know I can bring it home and then you can relate with it. Genesis 41:30-39. Look at it. Pharaoh said unto his servant, this is an unbelieving king. He said, can we find such a one as this, in whom the spirit of God is? He was talking about Joseph. That the wisdom this man is operating with is out of this world. Who else are we going to make prime minister? Let him be. What has never been done in the history of Egypt was done. A stranger. Not just a stranger. From the prison. Imagine somebody convicted of trying to rape his boss's wife, now becoming prime minister. I'm even thinking, how would Mr. Potiphar and Mrs. Potiphar behave after that event? Mr. Potiphar was his boss. He was a slave. Now Mr. Potiphar is a slave because of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It displaces you, places you above. That's what it does. What quality does Joseph have after spending 2 years in prison? It's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Somebody had a dream in the prison. He said, this is the meaning of your dream now.
the other person will die. You won't die. And Joseph knew what he was saying was true, because he told him, when you get out, remember me. But the guy forgot him, because it wasn't his time. When his time came, he remembered. He told the king, he said, you see, because God gave the king a dream. Let me tell you how the spirit of wisdom and revelation works. When you have that spirit upon you, if you are in an organization or environment, God will create a crisis that nobody can solve, except a person that has the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And then you will solve it, and then you will stand out. That's what happened to Joseph. God gave the king a dream. Are you following me? He now didn't know the meaning. In the time of Daniel, God gave the king a dream. Eh? Now he forgot the dream. He's now looking for somebody that will remind him the dream he had and the interpretation. So he called all the astrologers. He said, there's a dream I had, I forgot it. Please tell me. Those ones say, Oga, there's nobody. In the height of astrology and our occultic consultations, nobody can. You will tell us dream, we'll interpret. How can we tell you the dream you dreamed? But Joseph came. Daniel came. He said, give me some time. He went to pray and consulted God. He said, God, that guy had a dream. Show me the dream. Then God showed him the dream in a dream. Oh, you don't understand how this thing works. It's called the spirit of wisdom and revelation. At the time, there was a hand that was writing on the wall. Nobody could interpret. It takes the spirit of wisdom. He said, is it not simple? Many, many take a parasin. Your kingdom is over, sir. It did be. Are you following me? It's called the spirit of what? They will promote you rapidly, because they will have no choice. They will have no choice. They will just know you are different. They will just know there's just something about you, and then all your other people will be beefing you. That's what they will do for. They will beef you. Then to bati ya to the suwa oga, show us. Then you now say, follow me to my church. Come and take the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation. That's a better way to evangelize than to go without the spirit of wisdom and say, I said Jesus, you don't accept Jesus, you end up in hell. You say, shut up your mouth, we are already in hell. Is it not Nigeria we are in? What other hell are you going to use to scare us? But when you use result to outwit them, are you following me? It's called the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So Joseph went and told the guy his dream. Said, this is the meaning of your dream. Then the king said, there's no other person that can also tell us what to do with this dream. Tell us what to do. Then also gave them wisdom. And said, for 7 years, be saving up. 7 years of famine, take out of it. You can even now sell to other nations and make a lot of money. Then the king said, who else can administrate this? Other than the person who's interpreted the dream and gave us wisdom. Oga, you are prime minister. How did he get there? By intellectualism? Intellectualism is good, though. That's why you are in school. Read, you and come out with first class. I was telling my son when I went to visit him. He asked point four to get to first class. I said, you must come out with first class. School fees is much. Michael, you know, first class. Are you following me? However, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is what will set you apart. If not, there are many first class. You are not the only one. There are many 2-1s. What's your specialty? What makes you special? What do you have to offer? It's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So when you see somebody talking like Apostle Selma, you love him so much. Is that the spirit of wisdom and revelation working through him? You are busy fornicating up and down. That person is not here in Jesus' name. I know you, all of you are holy people. After I've heard of your faith and your love. But you can eat your cake and have it. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is something you have to pay the price for. I've been kissing up and down. Is it because you are engaged? Kissing up and down. Use flowers to kiss. When your mouth is not come on, you think it doesn't happen? Don't let me tell you stories. That lady came to my office.
his lips. I said, what happened to you? Why is your lips like this? He said, it's a rough kisser. I said, rough kisser. So, you pastor man ring, you know. But let's leave that. Let's go back to the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation. So we see an example there. And in verse 39 of Genesis 41, it says, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God had showed thee. So he knew. That's an unbeliever acknowledging that it's God that showed you. You can't be a human being. He said, there's none so discreet and wise as thou art. You see how an unbeliever recognized the spirit of wisdom and revelation and placed him in his place. Again, look at Isaiah 11:2 and see how this thing is a spirit. He said, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you. Come on, say amen. Amen. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. Say amen. The spirit of counsel and might. Say amen. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. All these things are spirit. Spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel, spirit of might, spirit of knowledge, spirit of the fear of the Lord. Those are spirits. That is why it's possible to lay hands on somebody who is misbehaving, and then he goes and then says, since the day you pray for me, I just don't know. Probably what God transferred through the laying on of hands is the spirit of counsel and might. I've prayed for somebody who is addicted to Indian hemp before. Addicted for 11 years. I prayed for him. It wasn't more than 5 minutes. Was slain in the spirit. Got up. Every desire for Indian hemp left. It left. Never again. What happened there? The spirit of the fear of the Lord was transferred to him. She began to fear the Lord. Do you know if you fear the Lord, you won't commit anything? You won't believe. Let the person naked himself or herself. You won't. If you have the fear of the Lord, you just say, fornication, offend God? No, I can't. It's the spirit of the fear of the Lord. That's what has kept me. That's what has kept me. Spirit of the I cannot bring myself to offend God. I can't imagine it. I can't fathom it. I can't bring myself into a place where I'm found wanting before God. I can't. It's a spirit, people. If you don't have it, you don't have it. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. Where I got it from, I don't know. But when I got born again, I just knew I can't bring myself to displease God. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. So I see somebody winking at me, and I feel like winking back. Then the fear of the Lord rises up. Thou shalt not wink. There are some people that wink that they went blind. That's the fear of the Lord. One lady went to fornicate. Her vagina closed up. Closed up. Like the machine. Closed up. How did we know? From MFM, Deliverance Center. It's the spirit of the fear of the Lord. It won't make you sin. And your boyfriend calls you on the phone and says, hey babe, how you doing? Ah, come around. And you know what come around means. You know that it's not prayer meeting. You know, come around. You know the meaning. And you two dressed up. Where is the fear of the Lord? Oh, they wash out to the perfume. Need 30 p.m. One lolier. What the better one? No, I'm born again. No. You are not born again. What? Don't deceive yourself. If you this, you know, we just often deceive ourselves. You just often deceive yourself. Please, if you're in a relationship and you can't hold your body, you must have sex. Come to me. I will join you. It won't take 10 minutes during service. I'll just announce to people, some people are getting married today. Glory to God. You are witnesses. I'll just call somebody your best mate. Groomsman. I'll be best man. Oh yeah. Okada. Tibolowo. From today, you have married husband and wife. Meet the latest husband and wife. You are now licensed to have sex. Then you go and be having sex there. About 1 week later, Ojo Awala, that this thing is not all about. Your wife will tap you and say, hey, hold on. Because that's what happens. No, we are constantly telling singles, don't have sex outside marriage. No, it's a sin on the God. Then we are constantly telling married people, have sex with you. Kilo D. Oh, for one year, 2 weeks ago. Why? I'm not kidding. That's why it's difficult to preach marriage seminar for single and married at the same time. You are telling one don't have sex, you are telling one continue to have sex. Go and ask. No, if you are close to any married person, go and meet them and say, uncle, why, Joe? I'm confessing you. She says, she regularly, I can't work with. She leave me to my school fees. You have no idea. Let's go back to the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation. Look at another example in Daniel chapter 5. He said, there's a man in that kingdom. These are unbelievers talking. See, when this spirit of wisdom and revelation, even unbeliever will respect, go, ah, you know, you. People ought to respect you. You are supposed to enter the class and the glory of God is all around you. Not that somebody is slapping you inside class. A child of God. And you can't slap back. So you collect the slap free. You even want to turn the other side like the Bible says. The Bible never says you should be turning your head for people to be slapping. Read your Bible very well. Though. Because those days the way people slap is different from now. Okay, I will say more than that. There's a man in the kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom. Look at it. Like the wisdom of the gods. Because they are unbelievers. And this is the wisdom of the gods. Ah, Odishani man, they don't know how to interpret the guy. This guy is beyond us. These are astrologers talking. Occultic people. Are this one? He said the wisdom of God was found in him. When the king, Nebuchadnezzar, your father, he was telling the guy, your father, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, I say thy father. Oh. But boy, of a born there and so from way. Bye-bye. To be a to Joba. He made him the head of all the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and all soothsayers. He gathered all of them, also all of you, because of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. When you are in an organization, they shouldn't match you. You are supposed to be outstanding in delivery of results, in quality of life. And it's not because of the exertion of effort. It's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And the way you do your thing is just different. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Life is very unfair. So it's not enough to be brilliant. There are first class materials who are primary school teachers that I know. Not that they are happy. Or they are teaching is their purpose. No. That's the only thing they got to do. You know, there are some people who love teaching. And there's nothing wrong with teaching, basically. Are you following me? Nothing is wrong with teaching. I'm not saying anything is wrong. But I'm saying those people want some other profession. So when there was no other thing, they resorted to doing that. But a person whose purpose is teaching and has the spirit of wisdom and revelation will excel there. You not only teach, you have your own school. You have schools. It's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Makes you distinct. There's no way I can finish this message. I'm not even caught that way. So I'm going to pause here so that we can take communion and go. And I will try as much as possible to continue on Wednesday and on Sunday and finish this up, because we still have to talk about the next verse. In verse 18 now tells us what the spirit of wisdom and revelation will do. He said the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and that's a whole teaching in itself, meaning that our understanding has eyes. The eyes you have is not just these physical ones. Your understanding within you has eyes, and those eyes must be opened. If they are not opened, you won't be able to relate at a certain level of wisdom. Everything they explain to you, kokoni ye no ni. I don't understand. And people will be saying, how come you don't get it? This thing is obvious. But because the understanding is blinded. Do you remember the scripture that said the God of this world has blinded the mind, lest the light, that light that comes from the hand of the Lord, where the hiding of his power is, lest that light will shine unto them. Say, he has blinded them. So you want to preach the gospel to somebody, you first of all intercede before you meet that person and say, I command the light of God to shine. That mind has been blinded, is opened. That person will receive the word. When the mind is veiled and then you are preaching the gospel, light can't shine. You preach rich, and what is he saying? That's why some people go and evangelize, they will pour pepper on them, pour palm oil. The mind is blinded. So I'm going to explain to you in the second part of the teaching how to access the power of God that is hidden in that light. Because when you see the spirit of wisdom and revelation, what the spirit of revelation does is to bring light. He said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Amplified says flooded with light. Think of a place that is dark and then you put on floodlight. That's what revelation does. So when you pray for that, when you pray the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you are praying light into your life. The reason people go from relationship to relationship, break up to break up, there's no light. There's no light. And there's no wisdom. And there's no revelation. If there's the spirit of revelation, you will have seen. Now that guy is not your husband. Don't waste time. So he comes to you. The spirit of wisdom teaches you how to tell him. Oga, Parkwell, Usaye Mibai, are you following me? Not that you embarrass the person. Because somebody asks you out. You say, how do you do that thing? You go, these guys that know how to do that thing. I want me to tell one song go. You can't you look at me before? You don't need to wash people down. You will marry a man eventually. Abi is angel you want to marry. It's a human being you marry. And human being is around you. Don't despise people. Treat people well. Even if the person is a non-believer, treat him well. Maybe he can even get born again as a result. This is your life. In the life to come. You yourself, how many lives do you have? So be courteous. Are you following me? Say no politely. If he's not the one, say no politely. Because the person you are saying no to can end up still being the yes person that you want. That's the one lady when we were in school. All this space. Everybody, no. When we saw our husband, my wife had to come and say, yeah, my boy, you look for yeah. When I saw the picture, I said, Ironio. Well, we know the other guy. We know where he stays. We know where he was. Even me, that I think I'm not fine those days, so I'm fine now, if you like, don't agree. In those days, I think I'm not fine. I was still finer than that guy. That guy, the way the mouth is and everything. Beauty is in the beholder's eye. What I'm saying in essence is, oh, fear everybody, shako. At the end of the day, when sister see that age is knocking, brother is not coming again, so this brother decided to shoot his shot again, and behold, he just called. I remember when I was talking to him, I said,
this person is your husband. Anybody,
that's how she said it. Stand up on your feet.
She herself said it. He said, only my friend, I may leave back your own.
Glory to God. How will you know who to marry? The man is around you now. He's not going to fall from heaven. He said, all those brothers in church, none of them. Who are you? How can you say none of them? It's because you don't know their future now. If you can fast forward and God can show you their future, you will know that there are several men here. If you look into this and say there's nobody here, you're on your own. Me, I know there are people here, multi-millionaires. Yes. For finished product, so I want somebody who already has a car, 2 houses, one in Lekki, one in mainland. So when I go to mainland, there's traffic, I can sleep. Who can afford 3 times a year vacation to Bahamas? Who can buy me a car, get me a driver? No, the man, it's more in you, it's too. I cannot suffer in my father's house and go and suffer in my husband's house again. It's not you that will determine that, my friend. Get the spirit of wisdom and what? You won't suffer like that. Get the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You will not suffer in Jesus' name. The spirit of wisdom and revelation will be granted you. Let me ask you to do something. Doesn't take a while. Anytime you are free, open that scripture, copy it and paste it in your notes on your phone where you can see it. Just pray. Father, I thank you. Grant to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you, eyes of understanding being enlightened and flooded with light, that I may know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of your power towards me who believe. Say it one over again. It's powerful. You become wiser, become more intelligent. You exceed your contemporaries. If a dullard, who is trying to read and read but somehow can't just comprehend, you take this scripture, you are going to become brilliant. Your brain will wake up. Do you hear what I said? Your brain will respond. Do you know the word of God is life? You can't be saying this every day. Your brain will wake up. When you pray this kind of prayer consistently, there is virtually nothing that is impossible. You can do anything and everything. Lift up your hands, lift up your voice, pray. Ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Rabado Shataka Bakatasa. Father, I pray for everybody under the sound of my voice. We ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Thank you, Father, because we know it is done. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's be seated.
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at Joke Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.